Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is a product of BevNet Online Radio. So you think you know sports, hosted by yours truly, Chris Nelson. We got a Long Beach, California, 347-202-0392. Call that number and press 1 if you want to talk to me. So you think you know sports is tonight's show. And I got a couple questions I want to ask, a couple topics that I want to talk about. And I want to start this show off by saying, shout out to all the beautiful people out there across the world and across the globe that participated in this past or this current Invictus Games. Now, for those of y'all who don't know, the Invictus Games were created by Brandon Prince Henry to basically, it was a way to show people that, you know, served and got injured, or even if, you know, you were born with, I don't want to call it a disability, I call it a minor setback. So if you were born with a minor setback, or if a minor setback has happened to you in your life and you are still a strong-willed person and you still are someone that loves to compete and you don't let anything hold you back, that's what the Invictus Games are. So shout out to all the beautiful people across the world that participated. I believe that the USA is actually in the running for the gold. The UK is actually in the running for the silver. And Australia is actually in the running for the bronze. So, like I said, this is a world event that takes place. And so I definitely just want to shout out to all those strong-willed people out there that partook and that is partaking in this year's Invictus Games. This is actually the first time that I heard about this Invictus Games too. Like, I knew that, you know, they do have games, you know, like Special Olympics and, you know, things like that. But this is actually the first time that I actually brushed up on the Invictus Games. And it was actually, when you're watching it, it's a different experience because you actually see how strong these people are. You know what I'm saying? And you see that these people go out there and they compete some better than some of the people that's getting paid millions and millions of doing it. So, like I said, shout out to those folks out there. And if you're ever able to tune in, I believe tomorrow, Saturday, it's another Invictus event. I believe it's the wheelchair race tomorrow. Tune in. It's all day. I can't say all day, but you know, it's going to take your morning from 11 to 3. So if you want to, you know, tune in and see those folks, please, you know, it's on ESPN, cover it on ABC as well. So please get out there, check those people out, see the USA do good, you know, because we try to do good every year, and no matter what it is. But I just wanted to take my time out to shout those folks out. Something that's been going on in the sports world, it's been kind of messing with my mind. I know everybody out there going, oh, Chris, I can't believe you're going to say this. It's a Sam Bradford situation that's going on out here in the world. Now, Sam Bradford, when the Eagles drafted Carson Wentz with the second overall pick of the draft in this past NFL draft, Sam Bradford decided to come out and want to demand a trade. And Sam Bradford says, you know, that he doesn't want to partake in any of the practices. And he says he want to play elsewhere. Now, I'm 50-50 with Sam Bradford on this here. And I'm 50-50 because, you know, the second overall pick of any draft, whether it's basketball, football, hockey, baseball, that's the draft that you draft someone that's going to help rebuild your team. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not drafting anybody with, like, the second overall pick. So for them to take a quarterback and, you know, but you're paying Sam Bradford all this kind of money, it was kind of like a smack in Sam Bradford's face as to saying, like, you know, we really don't want you here. So I kind of was, you know, 50-50 and why he doing it. Now, the other 50% and why I'm not a fan of him doing this, now, he recently went out there and partook in practices and in the spring camp that's going on now. So he didn't, you know, completely shut himself out, probably because the man realized that he's under a $76 million contract that the Eagles for some reason picked up. So he snapped to the reality and he's out there practicing. But now, for this guy to demand a trade and say that he doesn't want to be a part of this organization and doesn't want to partake in practices and stuff like that because they drafted this young guy Carson Wentz from a Division II school, it kind of really speaks about the leader and the lack of leadership. I can't really see leader, but like the lack of leadership that Sam Bradford has. Because now, mind you, Sam Bradford, he's been in the league now 5-plus seasons now. So it's not like, you know, he's another rookie. You know what I'm saying? He's considered a veteran. You only got to play 3 years in the NFL to be considered a veteran. So he has more than that, and he's considered a veteran. So for you to let this guy come from Division II and basically punk you out of your spot, for you to say, man, look, I don't want to be here, like I said, it speaks to the leadership of you, you know. And honestly, if I'm the president, general manager, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm going to give him what he wants, and I'm going to trade him. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to keep him on my team because now I really don't know your intentions going in here. I don't know if you're giving it your all. I don't know if, you know, you coming out here, you have doing it when you're stepping out on the field. And so, kind of, like I said, it takes away from me wanting you on my team, you know, and it's just me speaking from a coach, manager, president perspective. You know what I'm saying? And I want to get everybody else's opinion on that, Eagles fans out there. I know it's probably a couple of them that's listening right now. So if you're listening, 347-202-0392 and press 1 to talk to me and tell me what's up with your boy, Sam Bradford. But while I'm talking about the NFL, I want to keep this situation here. The young man, Laramie Tunsil, I don't know what I'm saying there, Laramie Tunsil, he is an offensive tackle who's coming from Mississippi State. He was projected to be he could have been the number one pick of the draft if not had an old picture of him surface, of him smoking marijuana. And so, thing I can say to Laramie Tunsil at this point, because I'm not going to get into it, but Laramie, I don't know if you're listening. I don't know if any of your people listen. I will hope that y'all are listening. Cut the company that you keep. And I'm going to say that because no way possible that just any old body got a hold of this boy from a picture, a video from when he was in high school. You know what I'm saying? I don't want another case where this guy has a golden opportunity in front of him and he doesn't capitalize because, you know what I'm saying, of a minor setback. So let me tell some people, if you out there listening, cut the company that you keep. You know what I'm saying? Because you can lose money, you can lose friends, and you can lose opportunity to help people and to help yourself, you know. So please, Laramie Tunsil, if you're listening, take this in stride, please put that away. And while I'm sitting here talking about the NFL, it's a comeback that's happening next year in team and players. I can't say in teams. I am going to say in teams, but in players. And there's really only one comeback that I'm looking forward to seeing, which is my man Jordy Nelson. Now, I'm not a Packer fan. I don't want nobody to think, you know, oh, he only said he's a Packer fan. No, I'm not a Packer fan. But I want to see Jordy Nelson come back because the Green Bay Packers lost every game last year by 4 or less points. 4 or less points. That's a touchdown. Maybe even a field goal. So I believe Jordy Nelson not being there, it took away from their game just a tad bit. Now, Mike McCarthy is a hell of a coach because Mike McCarthy, he knew who to play and how to play, you know what I'm saying, in order for his team to still do good. But if you ask me, the two best teams in the NFC are the Packers and the Panthers. I don't think the Seahawks are still there. You know what I'm saying? I don't think every other team right now is either young or they're broken. So, me looking at, you know, the Packers, they still have a stacked defense over there. They got a mixture of young and old, and it's the same way on the offense. They got a mixture of young and old. So, definitely I want to see that comeback next year from Jordy Nelson. I also would like to see some of these rookies get out here and actually perform to higher levels. I can't necessarily say higher levels, but play at a peak. Because lately, when the draft happens in the NFL, it's only been like a handful of good players that didn't really came out like in the first couple of rounds. You know what I'm saying? It's only been a good, I say 8 to 15 of these players that really go out there and do their thing. The other cats, they be like fifth round picks, fourth round picks, guys that went undrafted. You know what I'm saying? So I want to see these guys out here that got drafted within this, you know, first round, even the first two rounds. So there was even some exceptions that were still up there on the second round board. And so I want to see these guys actually come up, because me looking, like, I'm looking at guys now like Andrew Luck, you know what I'm saying, who he I don't even know what to say about Andrew Luck now. It's like the bad luck is turned on and he doesn't have any way to win now. It's like I feel like he's lost out there. You know what I'm saying? I feel as though either the coaching or something is not right for Andrew Luck to take this drastic turn. But he was one of the best quarterbacks in the draft coming out of Stanford. RG3 banged up. Yeah, we know. But now they done shipped this boy to Cleveland. And now he over there in Cleveland. Josh Gordon would be his target, but I don't really want to get into Josh Gordon right now. Josh Gordon would be his target to throw the ball to. No telling if Josh Gordon is going to play this year, so it's kind of like RG3. And don't get me wrong, they got guys like, you know, Dwayne Bowe, but he's a vet. He's not the same Dwayne Bowe from Kansas City. I think they cut the guy Travis Benjamin, so I want to see. I don't think RG3 really has it in him to carry this Cleveland Browns team, so I kind of feel as though they set him up for failure. So now in this draft, I just want to see all the young cats that's coming up. I don't care if you play offense or defense. I want to see these young cats shine, all of them. You know what I'm saying? Because this is my age bracket. You know, I'm 22 years old. You know what I'm saying? So these guys out here that's getting drafted, they 20, 21, 22, 23, you know what I'm saying? They that age. So I want to see these guys make it. And I want to see these guys, you know, strive for the greatest and get the best. I want y'all to call in and tell me your NFL teams for one, because, you know, I don't want no bandwagon hopping once the season starts. I don't want no bandwagon hopping. So call in, tell me your team. I'm going to let y'all know now. I'm not going to give them a city yet because we like in between cities right now, but I am a Raiders fan. The black hole, the black and silver, that's what I represent. That's my team. So please call in, tell me your team. I definitely would like to know. I would like to hear 347-202-0392, and we are out of Long Beach, California. But I think I'm done talking about the NFL until y'all call up. Y'all talk to me. Okay. The NBA is upon us. Well, the NBA playoffs, the second round of the NBA playoffs. And now with the Oklahoma City Thunder just eliminating the Spurs, about to be a new round of the playoffs, which would be the Western Conference. And so with the Western Conference finals coming up, approaching, everybody got the highly favored Golden State Warriors to win. Well, not even to win. You know, it's just going to be the Warriors and OKC. And I done heard some people say that the Thunder can get the edge if Russell Westbrook steps up and Russell Westbrook be that animal that he is. You know, because I'm going to be honest with you, and this is just the motor that this guy has. And the motor that Russell Westbrook has cannot be matched. This guy is from another planet. He can't be matched. So I don't think Steph defensively can keep up with him. Draymond Green, none of them dudes, I don't think they can keep up with him. So I think that they need to try to switch, you know, get a matchup to where he can just basically go at anybody. I would like to see him go at Steph because, you know what I'm saying? That's the two best point guards in the league. So I would like to see them two go at it for 7 games because I know that's where it's going. You know what I'm saying? So I think that this is a very important Western Conference final. You know what I'm saying? Because you have Kevin Durant, who won the MVP before Steph 2 years ago. And now you have Steph. So you got two of the last reigning MVPs to go at it now. I don't think this has ever been done in a conference final. So you already know what the finals is going to look like. But I don't think this has ever been done in a Western Conference final. So to have any young cats still, you know what I'm saying? And that's what I like about it. it's not like we watching old veterans go at it. Like, you're not watching like a old Kobe Bryant square up with like an old Dirk Nowitzki or anything like that. Like, we're watching young run and gun basketball. But hold on, I'm gonna hold this up for a second because I got a caller on the line. Caller, what's your name? Where you calling from? Caller? I guess I'll call her a little shy. Listen, people, only press one if you want to talk to me. Hello? Y'all got a voice? Did I get something? Caller? No, I hear you.
All right, 267-973, you're on the air right now.
Yo?
Yeah, hello.
Yo, okay, there you go.
Hello?
Yeah, he's on.
Yes.
He's on the air right now.
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's your name, caller?
This is Will.
Oh, what's up? Oh, I knew you was going to call in and talk some stuff up to me. Will, what's going on, Will? Listen, hold on, Will. Before you talk, don't kill me. Because I know I said I was taking the Spurs in five. I knew I said that, Will. And now I know you're going to try and embarrass me on the airway and all like that because your boys done pulled this victory out over my boys. So,
yeah,
by
10 points.
You got to tell me, yo.
What did you say?
I said, what you got to say to me, man? What's going
man,
on?
Man, all I got to say is I agree with you. It's going to be a 17 series, and I think this is going to be the NBA shootout of the century. Westbrook, Steph Curry, three-point shots. And I think it's going to go down. And like you said, once Westbrook got that motor that can't be stopped.
Exactly.
And
So let me ask you a question. Who are
right.
you taking in this seven-game series? Who are you taking?
I'm telling you, OKC, baby.
You want to take OKC?
I'm taking OKC.
Okay.
I'm taking OKC.
Okay. Y'all hear him now. That's my man, Will. My man, Chill Will. He called in. He the first person. I don't even think nobody said that on ESPN. You the first person that's taking OKC versus
I'm taking
Golden
OKC.
State.
I'm gonna tell you why, yo. They got shooters. They have shooters,
okay.
and they got two good big men, and then you got Deion Sanders that do his job when he wants to, and
right.
I think he want to win, and I think it's time for him to want to win, and I think he's gonna do what he got to do.
I appreciate you. Well, I appreciate you 100 for calling in, man. I'm glad you was able to call in and voice your opinion.
Yeah, and
but
already know Russell going to make everybody look like a superstar.
Yeah, he's going to make everybody look good out there. I agree
yep.
with that. I appreciate you calling in, Will. I appreciate you a bunch, man.
All right, no problem, yo.
All right. That all was right. my homie, Will, calling in. He said he taking, y'all heard him. He said he taking OKC in the Western Conference Finals in seven. But
hold on,
I'm
Chris.
Saying,
hold on.
What's up,
buddy? Hold on, Chris. I gotta come on and say this, man. Now, you know how I feel about Golden State, and that's how I live. Who's coming out the East, bro? Who's coming out the East? I'm gone.
The
go ahead, talk.
Listen, I'm gonna be always honest with you. I know everybody liking Cleveland. I know everybody liking LeBron. You know what I'm saying? I know that. I know that's what y'all out there liking, and I know right now y'all kind of feeling as though he got a one-in-one shot to get there. Nah, because if he got to see Dwayne Wade in the Western Conference Finals, Dwayne Wade not having it. And I'm taking the Miami Heat coming out the East. And I'm going to take him because I'm going to take him because, listen, you got to understand, right, that Dwayne Wade has been the clutch player since draft day. Dwayne Wade has never deferred to another player in a big game or in a big situation, even when LeBron was playing in Miami. He never threw the ball to LeBron in the clutch moments and said, "Huh, Brian, you take the shot." You know what I'm saying? Game 7s and game 6s, Dwayne Wade didn't sit back with, 15, 20 points. Dwayne Wade was out there 30, 35. You know what I'm saying? So I think that he understands what's at stake. I don't think that Dwayne Wade is actually playing for a ring. I think Dwayne Wade is playing for a revenge. So, and to me, he has the biggest heart on the court. He's the player with the most heart. He go at your best player. He'll defend your best player. He'll dunk on your big man. He'll hit the game-winning shot in your best defender's face. So, yes, I am going to take Dwayne Wade in the Miami Heat coming out the East. I don't even know who's coming out the West, so it's just Miami Heat versus whoever come out the West. That's how I feel right now. But, brother, oh, I want you to talk to me. Who you got coming out the East? Because I already know, you know, you being a California dude, I kind of already know who your West Coast team you're rocking with. So who coming out the East? Who you got over in the East?
I have the Miami Heat. A sentimental pick because I'm getting tired of seeing a team. LeBron James has to have his team carry him.
Exactly.
Wade is carrying the team.
I love you, brother O. I love you,
brother
O.
That's real.
I love you, brother O.
You know, I love you, brother O. I think that Dwayne Wade, like you just said, has been clutch ever since he came out of Marquette. He was clutch at Marquette.
Right, and Listen, my G, this dude has been clutch since, now, mind you, he's been the same size ever since, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So he's always
mm-hmm.
been going at these dudes that's been 7 foot. Like, even when, you know what I'm saying, when he went to the
mm-hmm.
championship and they had to play Dirk Nowitzki, you ask me, Dirk Nowitzki was the most promised Dirk Nowitzki that we'd have never seen.
That's
so
correct.
For him to go there as young Dwayne, he went in there young Dwayne Wade. He didn't go with their season veteran. He went in there young Dwayne Wade.
Second year in the league.
And for him
to, now, he gave Shaq that when Shaq looked at that Miami ring, I think it's more smiles from that ring than he does any of the other three Laker rings he won.
I think he did too because that was the ring that he wanted more than any of them. Because that was the ring he wanted to show people that, listen, L.A. was his team.
Mm-hmm.
L.A. wasn't Kobe's team. L.A. wasn't Fish team, Fox, Ori, wasn't none of them. L.A. was Shaq's team. So when he went to Miami and Dwayne Wade did his thing and they won that championship, yes, he did do Shaq a favor. But, you know, Shaq did his thing.
It's funny you said that because I'm going to tell you something. The year that the Lakers beat Boston in that
mm-hmm.
NBA final, that was Trevor Ariza's team. Ooh, did I say that?
But listen,
Trevor Ariza was the main reason why Kobe got that ring. That
brother,
ring.
Okay, listen, when people start to realize about basketball, they think that they can just get out there all really nitty and play. Like, just not the blacktop. There's coaching going on out there. So Phil Jackson set that up. And listen, believe me, I know exactly what you're talking about because Trevor Ariza and Lamar Odom.
It's all right now.
Trevor and Lamar Odom was putting up numbers in the playoffs. Like, you know, regular season, they weren't, you know, prolific scorers and, you know, highlight reel players. But once that playoff got there, they stepped into a different realm and they stepped up. And so Kobe still carried the team, but these guys understood what Kobe was doing and they stepped up. And they didn't shy away from it. So
Well, listen, let's go back to the 2000 season. The 2000 season was awesome for the Lakers. They got rid of Nick Van Exel.
Right.
You know, Eddie Jones, you know, and that was real big. When the Lakers got rid of Eddie Jones, who was a prolific scorer and a great defender coming out of Temple, and got rid of Cincinnati's prolific scorer, not real true point guard in Nick Van Exel. Got rid of them. Definitely, Van Exel was a bum to me. So got rid of them from the gate, and then had the audacity, okay, to bring in somebody like a Glenn Rice, who was a true veteran, a true warrior of the old Miami Heat squads with Tim Hardaway and Lonzo Mourning.
Mm-hmm.
It was Glenn Rice that showed Shaq and Kobe how to stunt and how to win championships. That was the first, 2000. And what Glenn, and if you don't understand, the MVP of the finals was Glenn Rice.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Right?
The MVP of the NBA Finals was Glenn Rice.
A lot of people don't know that, though. A lot of people, when you think of them, a lot of people, when they think of them 2000 Lakers teams, they, you know, Kobe, Shaq, Deep Fish, Pretty Boy, Ricky Fox, you know what I'm saying? They think of those guys. They wasn't, you know, they didn't think about the veteran guys. They was thinking about, you know,
correct,
the young boys that they seen on the ESPN magazines and ESPN
mm-hmm.
highlights and whatnot, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when I look at the teams now and I see like Miami, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of what I see because you had the young guys out here on Miami like Gordon Dragic, Hassan Whiteside, who I think he'll make a comeback. I think he's one of those guys. He's been through two injuries before. But you got the guy, Justin Richardson, Justin Winslow. And now when you draft a team full of guards and to play with the second-best shooting guard of my era, they're going to know what to do. And Dwayne Wade is going to know how to prep them because Dwayne Wade had to prep LeBron for LeBron to win the finals. So if you can sit the best player in the NBA down and coach him how to win the finals, I'm pretty sure that you can sit down a 21- and 22-year-old and teach them how to coach the finals because they career is going to last longer than what LeBron's going to last.
Correct.
Well, that's
well,
what I think.
And that's the East in a nutshell. We talk about the history and then bring it back. We are Long Beach, California, guys, 347-202-0392. I just want to put it out there. but the fact of the matter is that now people say, uh-oh, what do you see? Do you see a Miami and OKC final? It could easily be a Miami-OKC final. If the Oklahoma City Thunder play like they're supposed to, okay, with Durant finally waking up, because we really haven't seen the best of Kevin Durant this year either.
We haven't.
Because, I mean, I always say, man, because he's so thin to win. Okay, you know, you got the situations, man, and then if Kevin Durant wakes up and becomes the Kevin Durant to match the swag and the tenacity of Russell Westbrook, we might have a problem, brother. We have a serious problem.
He got a good VP for him. He got to go back to his MVP
years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but I mean, that's how it is. But right now, it's really, truly Oklahoma City Thunder. It's really Russell Westbrook's team. We do have a caller right now, 267-679. You're on the line right now with me, Brother O, as well as the one and only sports director, Chris Nelson. So what you know about sports?
You.
Call him. What's up? What's your name? Where you calling from?
It's from Philadelphia. You know what I mean? It's your boy.
Who,
what's up, Chris?
Who is this I'm talking to? Because this boy sounds familiar.
You know. Gary, a.k.a. Cerise. You already know who it is.
Uh-oh.
To the
yeah.
show, like, I got
what's
my
up,
brother
boy?
Kerry on the
brother?
Show. So, bro, listen, we talking, you know, we talking NBA playoffs. So, you know, we talking, you know, we predicting finals. I need an East and a West prediction. Who you got?
Boy, you already... For the West, I got Golden State in 7. I mean, I think they just, I mean, as a team, it's like people forget that, you know, like, yeah, basketball is a single player can take over a basketball game. But, like when you got a team that play good with each other, you can't beat it. Like, that's what Brian ran into when he ran into the Spurs that year. He ran into a team. He was the best player. Hands down. But he ran into a team. And you can't do it by yourself. You can't. It's a 5-man game. Actually, a 10-man game, 11-man game, if you want to keep it a bean. Because nowadays, people got, like, starters sitting on the bench waiting to play.
Like Golden State. Like,
Golden State has starters coming off the bench. So, like, what you think? They starters is already crazy. And you got other, you know, like veteran starters coming off the bench for you. Like, how you gonna beat that? And they all play well as a team.
It's all right,
hard to beat.
So who you see coming up
in the East? Come on, man! Everybody already know who come out the East. The same guy who comes out the East every year. I'm gonna just keep it a bean. Nobody in the East really can really stop mine. I'm just being honest. Like no one. No team in the East, it's just you can't stop them. Like, on the East side, he can't be stopped. Because the East, I'm just, they're not that good over there.
Yeah, true.
The teams
The East is every week, if I should say.
Like, the teams, I mean, like, you got, yeah, Miami, they're all right as a team. But, like, as you've been seeing lately in the playoffs, Joe Johnson, where he at?
True.
Where he at?
Oh.
You know, what are you doing this playoff? Like, I mean, Chris Bosh, he hurt.
John's supposed to be the Glenn Rice out there.
Like,
I think
like, what are you doing, though? Like,
supposed to be
doing
that.
Nothing. Like, he's dropping, like, nine a game.
Yeah,
10,
true.
12. Like, come on, Joe. Like, you can't be better than that, Joe Johnson?
But listen, though, bro, this don't need to send me. They still got the Eastern Conference, and they might still possibly have a finals. So we still looking at maybe 8 games to play so far to get to the finals. So you don't think that he going to pop up, you know what I mean, and be that Brooklyn Joe Johnson?
Not enough to beat the Cavs, no. I don't think so. Not enough to beat them. Like, they got too much firepower. Like, they deep over there. And then as far as the East side, as far as that go, but, like, when they step into the West side, it's an old different story, you know.
So who else on the Cavs would you say is a difference maker? Because I heard you name a couple difference makers for Golden State. So
When Kyrie on fire, he's a difference maker. Like, he can take over a game. If he on fire, like, who's stopping him? You got Drottis sticking him. Come on. Who you gonna stick that man? Joe Johnson sticking you or D Wade? If D Wade gonna stick Kyrie, he's not gonna be able to score that much. He's gonna be tired. Like Father Time. He's gonna play a part.
Man.
All this stuff gonna play in the part in the game, especially in the playoffs. Like people playing for keeps. In the playoffs you play for keeps, they know y'all can take this game off. You try to win every game. In the playoffs, you get serious.
Right.
I
appreciate you calling in, everybody. That's my bro, Kerry. Yeah, I heard you.
You already know.
He said, I appreciate you 100, bro. He said that he's taking the rematch of last year, which would be Golden State and Cleveland. And I got my homie. I got my big homie. Will of God on the line. Will of God, what's up, homie?
Yo, what's up, Captain Chris? Man, what the heck, man? You dropping all types of fluids out there, man. Everybody catching liquid A, liquid B, liquid C, and don't know what to do with D. I'm serious. What, man? Shoot.
Listen, I got to tell her how it is, man. When people be looking at sports on ESPN, see ESPN, they water it down for you a little bit. You know what I'm saying? When they give you your gin with a little bit of water. No, this is straight. If you gonna get this, you gonna get this straight. So when I come out and I say what I say about the Eagles, or anybody else, yeah, man, you hearing it straight, man. And I ain't backing away. I want somebody else. I want one to Skip Bayless. I wanted them to call and debate me.
Yo, man, you gonna make them turn into a snuffleupagus, man. if anybody know what a snuffleupagus is, man, they just start thinking about it and say, oh man, you a snuffleupagus? It's crazy, man. But what they were saying, man, and what the people are listening to, man. I'm on this daggone bus. Anyway, these people, I just got finished shooting the movie. We just did it in the midst of time just now. But, yo, man, the team that's coming out right now, if you ever watch these games, it started off with the college. Everybody looking at the college games, and before they used to be able to bet. Now they don't even know what to do because the games be like, hold up, how many games had last-minute buzz shots.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it was like bang, 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 bang. Each game was a last-minute buzz. Now, is it going to be like that for this NBA? We don't know. Is it going to be like that for the football? We don't know. If they throw it up to make it sound like a buzz and be a buzz, and each game be buzz, 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 and we know it's a problem. Somebody
right.
Getting paid. Somebody getting paid. So I'm just saying, man. Flip the script. I don't know who's the winner because you dang gone sure enough can't say Bruce Jenner no more.
They said that's what happened when you've been eating Wheaties for 30 years straight.
Yo, man, I'm just feeling sorry for the Olympic team because they only got to concentrate on them winning, but they got to concentrate on them winning for the rest of their life. Because
yeah,
that daggone Zika bug going to be coming from everywhere. It's like, you're going to be playing dodgeball with your blood. Like, hold up. No, get away. Stop. It's going to be a problem. Then when they come back, everybody's going to be scared of them because if one of them get infected, everybody going to look like, they're going to look at all of them like they infected. Like, yo,
right.
I understand you down with the United States of America, but I don't need you no more. I'm taking you off my wall. I don't even want to see. Look, they're going to be tripping.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a whole nother round.
Yo, man. I'm loving what you're saying, man. Keep dropping that science on them, man, because I want to hear some more people come over there and talk to you and trip.
Most definitely. I'm trying to get them round up now, man. The people out there, I know they out there listening, but they scared to talk to me because they don't know which way I'm going to take the conversation. So I don't want nobody to be scared of me, man. Listen, 347-202-0392. Press 1 if you want to talk to me. And we out of Long Beach, California. And I want to thank my man Will Legal for coming on and taking time out his busy schedule to come talk some sports with me for a quick second. Back to the NBA while we're talking about it. I wasn't going to bring his name up because I know everybody was expecting me to bring his name up. But I got to bring his name up because he continued to make history. Wardell Stephen Curry. In 61 years, there has never been a unanimous MVP. In 61 years, my grandma is only 65. So this award came out 1954. You know what I'm saying? 1954. Some people was probably being born. Some people's grandparents was being born. So this man has came out and won the first ever unanimous MVP. My hat goes off to Steph Curry. And my hats go off to the Curry family because I know that they helped. They trained him. They got him to where he needs to be. What I don't like about Steph Curry winning this unanimous decision, and y'all know me, y'all know I'm a person who love, y'all know hate don't run in my vein. Players like LeBron James, LeBron came out, he didn't basically threw salt on Steph. Oh, you know, Steph valuable, but Steph's not the best player in the league. You know what I'm saying? Charles Barkley, he'll come out here. He's saying LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard is better than all-around better players than Stephen Curry. You got the old cats, you know what I'm saying? Some of the old veterans that, you know, you can never say nothing bad about, like Oscar Robertson and all of them. Like, you know, you got them guys. They even out here, Oscar Robertson here, man. We talk about the average, the triple-double for a whole season. We talking about that man. You know what I'm saying? And so for him to watch what Steph Curry is doing and not like it from a point guard perspective, from the smallest guy on the court perspective, I don't like it. And I think that the hatred towards Steph Curry need to stop, and I'll tell you why. Steph Curry got drafted. Steph Curry was not a number one overall pick of the draft. I mean, of course he was lottery, but he wasn't, you know, number one overall pick. He wasn't even top five. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't even top five. Steph Curry had an ankle injury three years ago. The injury was more severe 4 years ago. Okay? Steph Curry shook all that. Came out here. Broke records, such as the three-point records that was held by Ray Allen and Reggie Miller for the season. Came back and broke his record. Let me say that again. I don't think everybody heard me say that. He broke two records and then came back and broke his own record. I think the only other person to do that is Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt. And they Olympic gold medalists. So for Steph Curry to do that from the smallest guy on the court perspective is big, okay? The best basketball player in the game that we say today is Michael Jordan. We say Michael Jordan is the best player in the league because we saw him do things like get the Chicago Bulls to a 72-10 record, which was the best record that anybody has ever seen in NBA history. Was the best record that anybody has ever seen in NBA history. Steph Curry has led the Golden State Warriors to a 72-9 record. 72 9 record. I'm going to say that one more time for y'all because it's 82 games to a basketball season. I'm sorry. 73-9. I'm sorry. My brother Kerry just had to come back down the steps and correct me. I'm sorry, folks. 73-9. It's only 82 games to a basketball season. He won 73 of them. But LeBron going to come out here and say that he not the best? He not the most valuable? Aside from him getting them to a 73-9 record, I think everybody forget that the Golden State Warriors started this season off as 25-0 with the assistant coach. Let me say that again, because I think the only way y'all gonna get the love through your mind is if I keep saying it twice. 25-0 with the assistant coach. We just watched the Rockets fire Kevin McHale after 11 games and fight to keep the eighth seed in the West. They fought. They fought to keep the eighth seed in the West with B.J. Biggerstaff, the assistant interim head coach. They struggled. Steph Curry did not struggle at all when Stephen Kerr was not on those sidelines. He went out every game and performed like Kerr was calling the shots. So, for all this hatred that's being thrown around from LeBron, and I know LeBron ain't talking about players winning MVPs, and I hope he's not jealous of this. When that man got 4 MVPs and he only deserving the 1, and if anybody want to call and debate me on that, 347-202-0392, and press 1 to talk to me, and I'm out of Long Beach, California. Let me go ahead and elaborate on that. LeBron James had 4 MVPs, right? And the one thing we can say about Steph Curry winning these MVP trophies are he's winning the MVP trophy, and he also has an 80% chance to win an NBA championship. So he's going to do the Michael Jordan thing and win MVP the same year as he winning rings, right? Now, let's look at LeBron. LeBron won his first MVP back in 2007, and LeBron took the Cleveland Cavaliers to the finals. They lost. They got swept by the Spurs. To me, LeBron had a great year that year. He deserved that MVP, right? So the next year, Boston, they go do their thing to the Lakers. They give it to Kobe. Year after that, they give it to LeBron again. Now, this is when the Orlando Magic is the best team in the East. Dwight Howard is in his prime, right? Dwight Howard is leading the league in blocks by 100. You know what I'm saying? The second person behind him got 100 less blocks than him. He also was averaging 25 points that year. That man was a problem that year. Kobe Bryant was a problem that year. My man Carmelo Anthony took the Denver Nuggets, who never made it out the first round of the West since the Kembe Mutombo was their center. That was back in 1991. Carmelo Anthony that year took the Denver Nuggets to the Western Conference Finals and led the league in scoring. But they still opted to get that championship to LeBron. They still opted to get that MVP to LeBron. He shouldn't have got that. The year he first went to Miami, they had the lockout. It was a 66-game season. They came. He went to Miami, him and Bosh. They lost to Dallas. To me, he shouldn't have got MVP that year either. That MVP should have went to Dirk Nowitzki. Actually, I'm lying. No, I say Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk Nowitzki was a veteran when he went against those young cats in Miami. I'm talking, he was seasoned. A lot of people had counted Dirk out. They counted Dirk out. They forget about the 7-1 German that can shoot. So for him to take his team and go play against these young cats who everybody loves so much in Miami and beat them, he should have got MVP. But hold on, I got another call, and I'm going to hold this thought for a second because I got another call on the line. I heard this my man Will. You back, Will?
I'm back.
What's up, Will?
Yo, man. Like, I'm not saying you're talking a lot of nonsense,
But LeBron, he deserves every last MVP that he got. I don't like LeBron like that, but he deserves them. And I'm going to tell you why. Because every game he played in, he was putting numbers on the board.
So let me ask you a question. Would you rather your player be the highest scorer in the league, or would you rather see this man take your team to the championship and win the championship?
I'd rather him take me to the championship.
Okay. So,
but
listen. When they were giving MVPs, LeBron was losing in the second round of the playoffs. LeBron was losing in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron didn't make it back to the finals since 07.
Mm-hmm.
So what was a 5-year vacancy that he didn't make the playoffs?
5 years, yeah, you're right.
That he didn't make the finals. I'm sorry. A 5-year gap that he didn't make the finals, dubbed as the best player in the league. So how do you, as the best player in the league, how do you not touch the finals, but you're still the most valuable player in the league? But we're looking at guys like Kobe, going out there in the West. Kobe out there running and gunning in the West, getting the Lakers to back-to-back finals.
You right.
Why don't Kobe have three, but LeBron have one?
I'm going to tell you, look, Kobe did most of his with Shaq. He did most of his work with Shaq.
But he won two without Shaq.
He had Ron Artest.
Come on, man. We're not going to trade Ron Artest for Shaq.
We're not. I'm just saying. He had Ron Artest out there at the point line, yo. He had Ron Artest. And then
When he got Ron Artest at that time, Ron Artest had already been suspended for a whole year at Indiana. Ron Artest already went to Sacramento. Ron Artest already went to the Rockets. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but you're missing my point. You can't say Ron Artest didn't help Kobe out there. You can't say Ron Artest didn't pull his weight.
He wasn't the man for you to say his name like that. I mean, I would have rather you say Lamar Odom or Derek Fisher. He wasn't the man for you to say his name.
Lamar Odom, he wasn't a bum.
Lamar Odom was getting robbed. Lamar Odom should have been winning 2 6 man of the year back to back. When they won them two championships, Lamar Odom was the best. Well, I can't say he was the best because
Lamar
Odom was the
runner. I was about to say he wasn't.
But at the end of the day,
I really wanted to talk about when you were talking about Cleveland and Miami. You were talking about how LeBron James. You were talking about what you were saying about LeBron James going against Dwayne Wade or something like that.
So Dwayne Wade playing for revenge. You got to understand. You can't
forget about Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love helping him.
But you
can't say Miami's gonna win.
His team is going to handle Cleveland's team. The matchup that's at hand here is Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm not going to say Gordon Dragic can handle, you know, Kyrie Irving. But we're not going to sit here and act like Gordon Dragic is a bum. I want y'all to stop doing that. Gordon Dragic is an essential point guard. You know what I'm saying? He can defend, he can shoot, and he can distribute. You know what I'm saying? I would like to see him do
that. Kyrie take that to the hole every time, though. Kyrie will take him to the hole.
Gordon Dragic got that D to keep him in front of him. It's not going to be easy. Kyrie going to be struggling to get those. He still might have 25, but he's going to have to put up 35 shots. You know what I'm saying?
You think he's going to put up 35 shots to get 25 points?
He's going to have to because Dwayne Wade is locking down LeBron. Dwayne Wade got that strength. He's not going to let LeBron put him all in a post and treat him
Now you're forgetting about Kevin Love being out there at the three-point line.
I'm not worried about Kevin Love because they got dudes like Josh McRoberts who done stepped up in the playoffs. Josh McRoberts is now averaging 14 points and 8 assists, if y'all ain't know. Then they still got the old veteran, Amari Stoudemire. You know what I'm saying? Luol Deng can get that forward. You know what I'm saying? Luol Deng can get down there and run that forward. And like I said, I don't think that Hassan Whiteside is done. I think that Whiteside going to make a comeback, especially if they're going to go against Cleveland. I think he is.
Actually,
I'm not going to say that. It actually depends on how bad his injury, because I heard he was dealing with a sprained MCL. But then again, like I said, they still wasn't sure. They were still debating it. So I don't know if he was just out for this playoff series or for the remainder.
All right, so
uh,
you, Do you think at the end of the day it can be OKC in Miami or OKC in Cleveland?
OKC in Miami. OKC in Miami. Yeah, that's all for you tonight. Well, I'm happy that you called back in twice, man, because I got another caller on my line. Appreciate you though, Will, calling in. Caller, what should you call? I got another one. Call.
Yeah,
who's
he?
Hello? Caller, what's your name? Where you calling from?
Steve. I'm calling from Philly.
It's who?
Steve. I'm calling from Philly.
Oh, what's going on, man? How you?
I'm good, man. I've been hearing all this LeBron talk this day and the third. I wanted to chime in, that's all.
Okay, I'm here.
Because you were saying here, like, okay, he only deserved one MVP, though.
Yes.
How is that?
I'm going to tell you how. Like I said, the Jordan 07, that's the one, to me, that should have, I'm not going to say it should have been unanimous, but it should have been close to unanimous because, like I said, that was still a young LeBron James in 07. That was still a young LeBron James, you know what I'm saying, overcoming
the first time he went
to
the chip, lost to San Antonio that year.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Bang, that's the MVP that he deserved, right?
Okay.
And then you got to think, since 07, he ain't been to the finals. He didn't get to the finals until he got to Miami, right? So now,
right.
Now I'm just going off of my basketball knowledge.
Right.
But if you're the best player in the world, you're in the finals, right? That's who you're supposed to be at, right?
Not necessarily true.
So if you had a star player, you would rather him go out and average 30 than him to go out and get you a ring?
Nah, he can go out and go average 30, but in the case where you don't have a team, you ain't going to make it to the finals. Like, every year, like, you doing a comparison about Steph Curry. Steph Curry has a team, a great team. He was young last year, but they made it to the finals. If LeBron and them would have had a healthy team, they would have never won a chip. But this year, they're built. Golden State is built to win a chip this year. But you got to remember, I understand you giving Steph Curry all this praise, but Draymond Green is the engine that runs that team.
That's understandable. He got a motor. I can understand that.
He deserves way more respect than what you're giving him because he was winning games with Steph Curry out in his playoffs.
I feel as though
last year when he won the MVP, he didn't deserve that, not over James Harden. No way.
Yeah, that was debatable. I debated that one. But the only reason why, like I said, you give it to a player like Steph Curry is because of not only the numbers that he put up, but let me ask you this. Was Golden State favorite to get to the finals last year?
Not in a lot of people's eyes, no. No. No.
Okay. So when you take a team that you're not favorite to win, you're not even favorite to be in the finals, let alone win it. So when you take that team that was, I'm not even going to say doubted, but wasn't even talked about to make it there, you know what I'm saying? They were talking, oh, it's a new head coach coming in. They fired Mark Jackson, hired Steve Kerr. It's a bunch of young players coming in. But for these young boys to still get to the finals and win it, that's why Steph's my MVP. Don't get me wrong. Harden did his thing. Harden put his numbers up, and Harden had the Rockets looking good. But when I'm watching the game when you playing Portland, and y'all letting Portland put us away at the buzzer?
But you got to understand
this. That's not even supposed to be happening when I got the leading scorer on my team.
Hold up. I'm going to ask Steve a question. I'm director, and that's that. You talking about James Harden last year, and I appreciate, you know, what you're saying. Who was the better leader in that season last year, Steph Curry or James Harden?
I feel as though James Harden was a better leader last year.
How? And he lost at the buzzer.
No, hold on.
Because, okay,
I ask you a simple question. We're not going into subtopics. I ask you a simple question. Explain yourself.
I'm about to explain. This is what I'm saying. I feel as though like he was a better leader because at the end of the day, what was their rank? What was their seed last year in the West, if I'm not mistaken?
The Rockets.
The Rockets. They came in as a 2 seed, if I'm not mistaken, something like that.
I meant to ask that question. What made James Harden a better leader than Stephen Curry?
Because I felt as though, like, he was, at the time, he was averaging more assists in the beginning of the season. He was leading his team. Steph Curry point total went up at the end of the season. Throughout the whole season, James Harden had him beat. First half of the season, hands down,
okay,
he was MVP, James Harden.
And
then when it came to the second half of the
season,
after the All-Star game, he had a couple of games where he digressed back.
No, it's not,
but
that's not even about that, Steve. I hear what you're saying, but it's not. Mm-hmm. That's not what I was looking for. I was looking for a better answer than that.
This year,
the National Basketball Association, and when it comes down to the most valuable player, what is James Harden's position?
The shooting guard.
Shooting guard.
No. Okay.
Shooting guard.
It's usually the shooting guard, usually in the annals. I'm not talking about the Michael Jordans and all that, because that's a different type of ball player. But the shooting guard and the point guard, who is usually the leader of those teams?
The point guard
is normally the leader.
Okay, so I was looking for that answer to a certain extent, and I know you want to defend James Harden. James Harden is a gun. He's an outstanding scorer. He's a gun. He is no leader. He's a gun that helped a very, very mediocre team down there in the Gulf State, down there and in the Lone Star State, get there last year. I'm glad that James Harden did not get the MVP because he didn't deserve it.
Let me tell you something. Don't you find?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate you, though, Steve, if you're still listening. I definitely appreciate you calling and chiming in, and I definitely appreciate you, man. But, you know, I still feel the way I feel about the whole MVP thing, about LeBron, about Stephen Curry. Like I said, if we're going to give it to an MVP, well, if we're going to give it to somebody that's most valuable, the most valuable person is the person that's winning, tell you the truth. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, it is a five-man game because Draymond Green is the man. You know what I'm saying? And Klay Thompson is the man. You know what I'm saying? Harrison Barnes do his thing. Like I said, even Iguodala, Maurice Bates has stepped up this year. But when you playing on a team with guys like that, but you can still go out and average 30 points a game, and y'all can still win, you are the MVP. Like I said, because all these guys can easily now, you know what I'm saying, with the chemistry that they have and whatnot, now I believe that these guys can go out and average, you know, 15 apiece. You know what I'm saying? These guys can maybe go out and average 18, 19 apiece. But Steph, as Brother O says, Steph is the facilitator and Steph is the leader. So that's why.
Wait
Steph
a minute, you got another caller, man, I believe, man. Caller 5 is on the line right now with Chris Nelson. So you think you know about sports?
Where are you calling from? Hello?
Oh, this must be me. What's up? This shouts to Dub Nat, shouts to my guy Chris G. This is all real, man. What up?
Oh, it's all real. What's up with you, baby? Listen, man, everybody that's listening to the show right now, this is my man, Saul Real. Go check him out on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook at Saul Real Music. He one of the hottest spitters out right now. Please go check him out. Saul Real, what's up, baby? What you calling to talk about, man?
So, man, I've been sitting back listening to the talk, you know, the LeBron talk, the Curry talk, it's to me, first and foremost, man. What's the dude named Harden?
Yeah.
Only talk about Harden. I don't really, I mean, he's a great scorer. I give him that. No defense. He's not a leader to me.
Gotta look at that.
A leader. You know what I'm saying? He know when to have a ball, when not to have a ball. LeBron, he get a ball away most of the times when he should have a ball.
Exactly.
It's a bunch of aspects, man. I feel where you're coming from as far as LeBron not really giving Steph his props. LeBron time
right.
was with the Heat. He left. That's on him.
Exactly.
Steph got it. LeBron is a big man that tries to play a little man game. And I was a fan of LeBron, but I feel like he should have been way better. He could do way more than what he do. He liked to pass first, put up
right.
points second, you know, and he too big for that. You can't play the AI role. When you was big, you could literally dominate the sport, but he choose not to. So I give all praise to Steph. He got a team full of shooters behind him. Draymond Green is the heart. He got him. I mean, I feel what you're saying, man. I'm not here to back up LeBron. Like, yeah, he's LeBron.
So,
he do what he do.
Tell me that you just saw, bro. Who you see in this championship, in this basketball championship? Who you got going?
I put it like this. If y'all talking about LeBron, but I feel like if Kyrie can stay in the game, that's
mm-hmm.
the only way Cavs will have a chance. Like, we seen last season, LeBron did all he can do. What was he scoring, like 35 points a game? But without Kyrie, they couldn't make it to that next step. So they need
right.
Kyrie to even contend. Like, yeah, LeBron going to do what he do. But at the end of the day, he don't have enough finesse. The carry the team. Like, no, man, I salute LeBron and all that. But with this, I don't know, man, with this OKC and Warriors going down, shout out to Miles. He called it. I thought the Spurs was going to take him off, man. I know, right? We do the same things, but they took the Spurs out. So I just feel like this: if Warriors can come up with a nice game plan and somehow contain Westbrook and deal with Durant, the rest of the team ain't got enough power to take them over that hill.
Right?
You know what I'm saying? The Warriors is all shooters, all heart. So they gotta find a way to deal with Westbrook, or at least try to contain him. He's a firecracker. He do
right.
what he want.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it's going to be a good series to watch him alive. It's definitely going to be more entertaining than if the Spurs did make it. Because this is, I mean, high power, high speed, back and forth.
Right.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So I can't wait to watch it, man. We talk about this all the time.
Right, we definitely do. Listen, that's why I appreciate you calling in and supporting me, man. I appreciate you 100%, Saul Rowe.
I got you. You already know, man. Salute.
Oh, man, listen, that's my guy, Saul Rowe. Like I said, y'all go check him out. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Saul Rowe Music. He's spending some real. He's spending some realness to the world. But, yeah, man, the MVP stuff still going on. You know, everybody got their opinions on who they think should have won it, who they think should have won it, who they think should have won it. But, you know, like I said, it all goes back to the numbers, but then, you know, it goes back to what we actually looking and seeing. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, even when we looked at the game, he's coming back off his knee injury and put up 40. That's why you're the MVP. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's why, like I said, I don't understand where the hatred is coming in. That was my question, was where the hatred was coming in there. Because I don't understand it. If we look in this, like I said, we basically watching greatness right now. You know what I'm saying? Like don't get me wrong, we didn't see Kobe. We didn't see Kobe do his thing. We seen Shaq. We seen AI. But it's never been this much consistency in the player and Steph Curry. But, you know, I got another caller on the line. Caller, what's your name? Where you calling from? Caller, you on with me? Where you calling from? Caller, what's your name?
What's going on, Chris? It's T-Mac, a.k.a. Blackout Johnson.
Oh, what's up, Blackout? How are you?
What's going on, fam?
How you? I'm happy that you called in. I'm happy that you're listening, man. What you got to say for me? Who you see in this finals, or what you got to say about this MVP?
I see in the finals, if they Saul said, I see in the finals. I see Cleveland and I see the Warriors.
Okay.
But the thing is, what's going to make the difference out of everything is going to be the team that plays the best together.
Right.
That's going to win the championship. If you look at it in history and all the dynasties, it's always been not just a one player, not just a one player person. It's the whole team. Let's say, for instance, now you talk about how, you know, LeBron is, you know, talking bad on Curry and talking bad how he's not, you know, but you see that in history too. All the greats, not all the greats, what Shaq was mad at one point, was mad at what's his name, Dwight Howard, because he called himself Superman one point. Yeah, I mean, he was hating on him. Oh, he ain't the best, this and that. Then you mentioned already that he had almost over 100-some blocks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even though with Shaq was still in the, at the end of this joint. So he going to, I mean, what's going to talk trash about it, because he's seen that he sees greatness in that man. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he's going to try to talk hate on him a little bit. And also, he's trying to get in his head a little bit too, because they've seen each other in the finals. He'll be thinking about that. Oh, he said, I ain't the best, so I got to prove myself, not worry about the team. But like I said again, the main thing going to win is team. It's teamwork. That's it.
So, you know what I'm saying?
One person can't. One person not going to beat five people.
So, huh? So which do you see playing, clicking first? What team do you see clicking first?
I see how I see it. Cleveland has got a great team.
Right.
Meaning they have a lot of good components that actually can make them be a championship team. I do feel some kind of way that LeBron is passing a lot, but he have two healthy players they didn't have last year that made a big difference in the game. And also now you got another person, you got another person that's actually doing a great job this year. He do it every season, but this year he's actually pulling the team itself. It's Smith. You know what I'm saying? So everybody, J.R. Smith, so everybody looking past him, like he ain't dropping numbers every game too.
Yeah.
But if they keep, like you said, is Kyrie keep playing great like he is, staying healthy, you know what I'm saying? They'll make a big difference in coming whoever they play against. But then also, I'm not gonna say Curry and them not gonna do their thing either, because they stopped them when he did have everybody too at one point for last year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not like, but I mean, Kyrie makes a big difference. Because he chases that man around and doing his thing.
Definitely. Yeah, offensively too.
Exactly. Yeah. Then the defense too, because they put Iguodala on Wichita to shut him down. You know what I'm saying? So if they keep staying and doing their job, the Warriors might have it again. But like I said again, I'm not going to call out Cleveland, because, you know, you got two healthy, strong people that they needed last year.
Right.
And they got it this year.
True that. True that. I definitely feel that. I feel that 100. Appreciate you calling in, Blackout.
Yeah. You doing your thing, man. It's T Mac, son. What's up?
Yeah. I appreciate you, T Mac. I appreciate your 100, man. Listen,
you know
everybody.
What I mean?
This is my folks, T-Mac, on the line, man. Very good dude. I'm fortunate that I met him. You know what I'm saying? Fortunate for everybody that called in tonight. Fortunate. You know what I'm saying? Just happy to be here. But, like I said, this still taking Miami coming out. And, my court is still in the air for the West right now. You know, because I kind of feel as though if I had the pinpoint it down and sort of like, going back to what my man T-Mac said, and let's not even talk about the finals, it's the Western Conference Finals. I think it's going to take OKC as a whole. You know what I'm saying? And I don't see it happening because guys like Serge Ibaka hasn't been stepping up. And to me, he can be a huge difference maker because he can shoot long range, mid range. He can actually drive and go dunk the ball. So he can also kind of post up and step back and, you know, kind of that. So be a big difference maker. Deion Waiters can be a big difference maker. Even they got the young guy Curtis Payne, who he can square up and shoot just like Anthony Morrow can square up and shoot. You know, Enes Kanter, he come in and do his thing every so often, but I think, honestly, everybody says it's a five-man game, but honestly, I think the Warriors can honestly destroy you with three players. Honestly. Like, so that's why I say it's going to have to take a hold because if Steph, Clay, and Draymond, 20, I'm going to just leave it at 20, it's a win. So that's not to mention what Andre Iguodala is going to do. That's not to mention with Maurice Bates, because he can spark when he want to spark. Andrew Bogut, who Brother O said was brought back from the depths of Milwaukee, you know. Even Barbosa will come in the game and give him 2 threes, a quick 6 points off the bench and some nice defense and hustle. But they can kill you with three players. So I think it's going to take everybody on OKC to step up and at least 15 people. And I want to thank everybody tonight to call in because this it's a special night for me and I got a very big Kool-Aid smile on my face right now. I just set the BevNet on time record with 274,202 wonderful people that then called up and listened to this show. So I'm very happy. Like I said, I got a big Kool-Aid smile on my face right now. I appreciate all of those who called 274,202,000. I thank y'all. I thank every last single one of my callers, T-Mac, Saul Real, my bro Kerry, even though he's sitting right next to me. Will of God, I even thank Brother O for letting me come on and talk my ish. I even thank him for coming on and talking his ish. But we still talking our ish, and I'm going to talk till my time is done. I just wanted to thank everybody and announce that. And like I said, I'm happy that I'm here with BevNet, and I'm happy that I'm doing this here on BevNet. So I appreciate everybody 100. But, you know, I'm happy that the talk was NBA because when my last show was my first show, and I feel like I tried to, you know, it was my first sports show. I felt like I tried to cram everything in one show, and I really didn't even get a chance to talk about basketball because we were so busy talking about the NFL draft because we was day two of the draft, so what else to talk about? But, you know, us being here, you know, playoffs, like I said, it's now Western Conference. June is around the corner. I really just had to look at my calendar. June is around the corner, so you know that means that the finals is up the street. So, like I said, we're going to be talking about that soon, very soon, because these series are going to 7 games. So, you know, give us till June. We're definitely going to cover that. You know, like I said, shout out to the people before. Like I said, shout out to the people that even watched the Invictus game, not just participated. Shout out to the people that watched. Shout out to the people that supported. I even caught a little bit here and there. But Sports is all around. Everybody loves sports. That's why I'm glad 274,000 people called in and listened to me tonight. But like I said, if I'm going to give an edge to the West, because I didn't do that because I wanted to announce that, if I had to give an edge to the Western team, because I said I'm still taking Miami in the East, I'm going to go ahead and say Golden State. I can't even deny it. I'm going to say Golden State. You know, I already cheered for one Oakland team. I might as well just cheer for the other one until June is over. You know, so like I said, I'm gonna take the Warriors. Like I said, I can't show no hate to Steph Curry. I don't show no hate to anybody anyway. But you know, everything that he's done this year, I think he's the reason why Luke Walton got a head coaching job. Luke Walton deal was done in 4 hours. That's the quickest contract transaction we have ever seen. So shout out to Steph Curry for that. You know, like I said, we witnessing greatness happen all around in the NBA. You know, in the Olympics, well, the USA exhibition is coming up this year, this summer. I'm dying to see what these young cats going to do, because that, to me, like those USA NBA, like, you know, basketball exhibition games where they're playing against each other and they're teaming up and playing other countries and whatnot, to me, that shows who is who. And that show who can really step up. I know a lot of guys out there saying, you know, oh, well, those international teams, they be blowing them out by like 50. You know, but it's not about that, because it's about at the end of the day, anybody can lose. They didn't know they was going to blow these guys out by 50. Anybody can lose. So, you know, for them guys to go to another country, step into, you know, another realm of basketball. You know, basketball is basketball no matter where you go, but you step into another realm when you're not at home. You're not actually on turf. You know, they travel away now, but it's still in the U.S. But when you go travel overseas and you go play on somebody else's turf and you're surrounded by different people, not to say it'll take a toll on you, but it's going to take a toll on you. So for them to step up on that floor, like I said, I want to see the veterans in this year's USA exhibition. I want to see the veterans go at it with the young boys. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to see a bunch of mixed up young and old, because we already know who's going to be matched up with who. So when they do, like the USA, the blue versus the white, I want to see Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, at least those four on the same team. At least those four on the same, and Chris Bosh, that five. I take that five versus the starting five for the young guys would be, I'm going to say Steph, Russell, KD, Draymond Green, and Anthony Davis. Actually, I'm going to take Boogie Cousins. I think that's going to be that's young versus, you know, that's veteran versus up and coming. You know, I think that would be a good passing of the torch that we'll see. You know, that, and they're going to play this summer, because, like I said, I'm going to definitely cover that, and I definitely want everybody to tune into that. But that to us is going to, you're going to see, you know, what young guys are able to go out there, compete, and run with the big guys. You know what I'm saying? You're going to see what veterans still got it. You know what I'm saying? These dudes that been in the league 12, 13 years, yo, do they still got it, or they, you know, they really washed up? You know what I'm saying? Can they still get out here and give us 30? Or they going to give us 18 and a couple of assists? So, you know, the USA exhibition games are big, and I actually think it's big because a lot of these guys, they learn from each other when they go here. And that's how these people games, you know, elevate to the next level. So, you know, with the USA exhibition games being this year, next NBA season, you know, they're going to be, this summer, they're going to be having their notepads out taking from each other books. So next season it's gonna be like watching everybody that's been in the training room all summer. They're gonna come out stronger. So next year NBA season, next thing gonna be better than this year NBA season. And there's been a lot of history that's been going on this year. But, you know, that's just something to watch out for. You know, the Olympics also this summer, also something to watch out for. But like I said, we're gonna cover all it. It's a nice little space between now and then. But shout out to the Miami Heat. just won this game six against Toronto in Miami. Like I said, Dwayne Wade is going to do his thing. I'm not worried about that, so I'm still taking the Miami Heat. So congratulations to them, and good luck to both teams on the Game 7 that they're about to play. And we're going to cover that as well. But, like I said, all in all, it's been good NBA season because we didn't see guys like Boogie Cousins actually show. I think the NBA is back now to what it was back, you know, even before my time when every team had a superstar. I think that's now what the NBA is going through. You know, a lot of times you had dry spells, you know, where you knew which teams were going where. I think now is the time where, like I said, the NBA build these teams, they're going to build and every team is going to have a superstar. Some teams out there are still a little suspicious, like, you know, the 76ers and whatnot. They're still on the ropes and they're still on the edge. It's going to take a long rebuilding process, you know. But other than that, you know, 30 teams in the NBA, at least 20, 21 are rebuilding. It's very competitive, you know, even teams like Utah and teams like that. So it's going to be very, 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 you know, competitive years going on. Like I said, I don't think we're going to look at it now. Because like I said, we watched LeBron just get dethroned last year. And everybody thought he was the greatest, and we just watched him get dethroned. So you kind of looking at the NBA now where it's just like one big shootout. Everybody's shooting at everybody, and everybody's shooting to be the best. And everybody's shooting to put their team in the best position, you know. But, yeah, like I said, I want to know, is LeBron going to reclaim his throne? Is this going to be their year? Like I said, I don't want to talk too bad about him. I just don't like the hatred that was spilled his way, and I feel the way I spilled out his mouth, and I feel the way I feel. But, you know, I think that LeBron has what it takes to reclaim himself as king. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not going to say king, but, you know, as that best player in the league, I think he can do it, but he has to not necessarily stop worrying about guys like Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, because you know, them guys going to eat regardless. You know, Kyrie and Kevin Love, Jason, J.R. Smith, Amon Shumpert, you know those guys. You know they're going to facilitate and all going to get their points. But I think it's up to LeBron to start saying, like, listen, man, I want this. I want to win. You know what I'm saying? I think he has to look at it and say, you know, yeah, I do care about my team. And I care. Well, he has to look at it and say, I care about my teammates. But I care about my team more. And what that means is, yeah, I care about my teammates to get y'all in the game for y'all to have good numbers. You know what I'm saying? I love my teammates enough to get y'all in the game for y'all to be on ESPN. But I love my team even more to see us to win. So if it's 4 seconds left on the clock and we tie a game, no, Kyrie, I'm not passing you the ball. No, K-Love, I'm not passing you the ball. I'm taking over. That's what I want to see, and I want him to reclaim himself. I want him to reclaim it because Kobe's not here no more. The only person for him to shoot out with is Steph. So I want to see it. Brother O.
What more can I say tonight? Hey, man. Yeah, I'm always here, man. Listen, I want to thank God what he's done for us, what he continues to do for us on a constant basis. Everyone knows how I feel about sports and just – we didn't get a chance to even talk about baseball and what's going on with my Yankees. You know, but I digress.
I didn't get a chance to talk about Carlos Reyes being suspended for 28 games. I didn't even get a chance to talk about that. Reyes out here doing domestic violence and whatnot. But that's next show, brother. Oh, that's next show.
That's it. And listen, I want to facilitate tonight. First of all, Chris Nelson, congratulations on your second all-time BevNet Connection record. Of course, you know, you came on here like gangbusters when you first, you know, put yourself to the mic at the one and only Beverly Nation. And it's a long time coming, and tonight you've done it again, and I appreciate you tonight. And this is the first time in a long time at BevNet really almost, I think, almost all the way back into the time we hit five straight DevNet connection records in a row, that we had a consecutive DevNet all-time connection record. So I'm real proud about that tonight. Thank you, Adrian Allen, last night, and thank you, Chris Nelson.
Yeah, shout out to Adrian Allen, too. Shout out to her, too.
Yes, indeed. So I just want to thank everybody who called in and listened to my sports director tonight. And some people didn't agree, and I want to thank our brother Steve calling in, but I had to come on because I just couldn't take that. There's no way where James Harden deserved any MVP in my book. He's not a leader. He's a great scorer, and I'm going to leave that alone. And I'm going to go and say that the dynamic Olad and Gozy Primetime Radio Studio A3 right out of Long Beach and Beverly Nation is advertising through Oladeli and Gozy Enterprises. You can reach us at Ngozi Entertainment. VTWeb.com. Also, Ngozi Primetime Radio on Twitter. Thank you so much, Twitter, for what you do on a constant basis for us. And OLED_Ngozi Primetime on Instagram. Come on, Kenny Roppers. You know, continue taking my picture because I'm cute. And then, of course, both pages, both Oladeli and Ngozi Enterprises at Facebook, which is our business page, as well as, if you want to contact me, is Oladeli Malewa Ngozi on Facebook. Any comments or suggestions to our programming? Oladeli.ngozi@gmail.com. For the last 4 minutes of our program, I'm here to tell you that I am your mother and father's favorite producer. Oladeli Malewa Ngozi saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio. Thank you so much. And thank you, Chris, on your second all-time DevNet Connection record. I'm out.
Oh, man, brother. Oh, I appreciate you 100. Appreciate you for letting me be in here. You know, I appreciate you for blessing me with this opportunity here at BevNet, and I'm definitely blessed for all of that. Like I said, I definitely want to call and thank everybody that listened to help me break the record. Even though it's not about the record, I'm happy that y'all called in and heard some realness, you know. So I'm definitely grateful for that. I'm grateful for everybody that I talked to. Like I said, I appreciate everybody from my bro, Kerry, my man, T-Mac, so well, Steve. You know, Steve, if I see you somewhere in the street, you know what I'm saying, you see me, we can still talk about this because, you know, I always talk about sports. So if you want to see what I look like, go to my Facebook and look me up. I'm on Facebook at Chris Nelson. You know, I'm on Instagram, UPT Chris. If you want to talk about sports, you see me in the street, ask me, yeah, you the dude did the sports show. Yeah, I wanted to tell you about, yeah, we going to stop and talk about it. I don't care where we at. I don't care if I'm at work, I'm late for the bus, if I'm late for work, if I'm in the grocery store. Stop and talk to me because I definitely want to chop it up with you, man. But I appreciate you, 100. Like I said, I appreciate everybody calling in. Willa Guy, he supports me every time I come on the air. I definitely appreciate you, Willa Guy. And like I said, those of y'all that want to follow me on Facebook, I'm on Facebook at Chris Nelson. That's K-R-I-S Nelson. I'm on Instagram. And I ask everybody, if you're listening to me, if you support my radio show, I ask you, please just go give me some feedback on my clothing line. There's Royal Distribution Clothing on Instagram and on Facebook. Again, there's Royal Distribution Clothing. Look for the elephant, and I'm made for kings and queens. But, like I said, I'm grateful for everybody that called in. And, like I said, y'all see me somewhere, y'all want to stop, chop it up, talk about sports, talk to me. But I'm back in 2 weeks for my sports show again, 2 Fridays from now. You think you know sports? And 2 Tuesdays from now, tune into my other show on BevNet that Brother O has blessed me with, which is the Nelson Corner. Again, I appreciate everybody calling in. I love y'all. Thank you much, and I'm out.